Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are... This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey. Not in a
Creepy Way. Welcome, this is Eric. This is brother Jay.
And then we have another topic to talk about tonight. I encouraged you to watch the two documentaries that are available for stream on streaming services. One is Netflix's Fire, F-Y-R-E, about the Fire Festival. And the other is Hulu's, dropped 3 days before Netflix's, I think, called Fire Fraud, also about the Fire Festival, but from a slightly different perspective. Brother Jay, what's your reaction to watching the two documentaries about the Fire Festival?
So,
Do you want to punch social media influencer millennials right in the face?
Not necessarily. However,
do you feel sorry for them being cheated?
No. I do not.
Okay. Sorry.
I do not.
Hate to put words in your mouth, but
I it was a bit of schadenfreude to watch both of the documentaries. And by the way, I didn't know anything about this before the documentaries. I'd never heard of the Fire Festival. I vaguely remember the news when the Fire Festival went belly up.
And do you remember the picture of that sandwich?
I do.
Yeah, okay.
But I didn't understand the concept of what it meant, nor what it represented at the time. I do now.
Nor clearly. Did any of the attendees.
But I mean, clearly I'm not the demographic for the Fire Festival, as I don't make any substantial amount of money, okay, and I don't come from...
For those who haven't seen the documentary, can you explain what the Fire Festival was supposed to be?
The Fire Festival was supposed to be an elitist getaway music festival for rich people who wanted to just waste money in an elegant setting where they could be poncy and happy about their elitism.
And they were going to go, they were going to be flown by private jet to a private Bahamian island once owned by Pablo Escobar.
Yeah.
And there was going to be wonderful cutting edge music acts like Blink 182 and Major Lazer. I was never a Blink 182 fan. I don't know how popular they are still, maybe a lot. I've never even heard of Major Lazer, so I'm not hip with.
I like Major Lazer. Blink 182 is meh.
But it's supposed to be like Coachella. It was advertised to be like a Coachella or a Glastonbury.
It was supposed to be
like
Coachella for the ultra rich.
But exactly.
It's basically like what Burning Man has turned into now, where exactly. It's gone commercial. So, but this was going to start commercial.
And you weren't going to be on the desert, though. You were going to be on a fantasy island.
Yeah, you were going to be in the Bahamas on Pablo Escobar's old island. Yeah,
it turns out more of a fantasy than you thought.
Right. So... yeah. So, no, I actually, several times through both documentaries, I was yelling at the television, like, shut the fuck up, you rich spoiled brats. Like, you should have done some due diligence and maybe next time you'll be slower to part with your money, although maybe, probably not. But I also had some dissonance because for the first... like 20 minutes, I kept seeing Billy McFarland and I just kept seeing Seth MacFarlane. Like they look like I had to look it up. I'm like, they're not related. That's not the same name, right? Yeah. It can't be the same name, but they look alike. And then the more he smirked, I was like, God, they do look alike. No, they can't be related. And then finally I discerned they were not indeed. Names aren't even the same, but it just drove me crazy. And then I realized he looks exactly like somebody I know. And I was like, oh God, he looks like one of my friends. Who is equally sleazy and who I don't associate with now because he's equally sleazy and kind of shady like that. So, but watching this, just the sheer ego.
But by the way, Rodney, you're forgiven, but just realize you got to shape up.
Rodney, nice anonymity there.
Rodney knows what Rodney did.
The ego of many of the people involved, the fact that they just video recorded and documented everything, was mesmerizing to me. I couldn't wrap my brain around it. And then I just had the hardest time, like, who the fuck is Ja Rule? That,
like, exactly.
Like, what? I do not understand. Like, why was this? Was this a white guy thing? Like, I don't.
Well, what do you mean?
Why Ja Rule? Why did?
Well,
why
Ja Rule. Billy... Okay, first of all, Ja Rule is not a white guy. In case anybody doesn't know who Ja Rule is.
No. I'm just saying. What? But why? Billy McFarland got Ja Rule. Why? Was it some white guy fantasy that I think a lot of fire was Billy's fantasy.
Oh, he wanted
it was no. all about him, and he wanted the festival for him. He didn't care about if it made money. He just wanted it to be a playground for him.
Well, okay, so in the first the fire documentary, it's mostly about Billy McFarland. And I think some of the producers are actually involved in the Fyre Festival. So that's kind of, people are saying that if you want a more objective view, look at the other one, Fyre Fraud. But the thing about Fyre Fraud is Fyre Fraud interviewed Billy. You have more of Billy talking. And part of what he says is, oh, I think this turned out so horribly because we were too good at what we were doing. It's like, first of all, he can't stop promoting himself. But also, he's kind of right. I mean, he was basically running a Ponzi scheme where he was just getting investors to invest in this thing, this huge festival that he was trying to pull off in like 6 months or less, I think, maybe. And they did a really slick video of what this island would be, and they got a whole bunch of like supermodels, not supermodels, but models and internet specific models like Instagram heroes and stuff and influencers. And they portrayed this idyllic setting for what would be a massive 2-week event, much like Coachella or Bonnaroo or what is other, you know, there's a bunch of festivals around now. But this would be the ultra elite. Like you were spending like $5,000 to $10,000 just to get there and have a place to stay. And you could upgrade to even higher. But he was selling all this stuff, having no idea how to actually pull this off. Clearly he had no idea. He just thought he was going to be able to throw money at the problem. And he was getting money from investors who were investing money, expecting some sort of return at some point. And he was just spending that money as quickly as he could. And was always like, he spent millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. I mean, I love the fact that they had a budget. They bought $2 million worth of liquor. So they had it shipped to the island that they eventually got some land on in the Bahamas. And he didn't realize he was going to have to pay 40 something percent,
duty.
So he had to pay almost $1 million for his to get his liquor out of like customs jail. And my God, my hero, even when he first started talking, I didn't know where this was going. I'd never even heard of this guy before. But the what's that guy's name from, he's got three names, he's in all the Christopher Guest movies, he's got a game show now. He played Michael McKean's, I think, boyfriend in Best in Show. Three names, blonde guy. But one of the producer, one of the guys that was brought in to organize the stuff, is like an older version of this guy. And his mannerisms are hilarious because I didn't even get that he was gay. I just got that he was like, because he would say like, you know, this, they were putting this stuff together and I thought, oh golly, this isn't working out exactly how we thought it was going to.
Are you talking about John Michael Higgins?
Yes.
Okay. So John Michael Higgins would look like who?
look like the guy who was eventually sent to get the Evian out of customs jail.
Through the oral favors.
Yes. As soon as he said the word, the phrase, oh golly, I'm like, oh, this is my guy. I'm going to ride this whole thing through him.
I had very mixed feelings about him because I thought, well, he's really a team player, but where you have to draw a line somewhere.
Yeah, why haven't you quit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
That's a question of all these people. Why haven't these people figured it out?
That's my thing. Like, all these people said, well, you know, things were bad, but we just figured, like, no, you don't just, if anything is that bad, you get out and you scream bloody murder.
When it was clear things were shit, Ja Rule was a ghost. He was the best guy. He never showed up again, right? I mean, he doesn't even know Billy McFarlane anymore.
Oh.
Even though I love they keep showing the clip of them at this, like a tech roundtable or something, a tech conference where he's like, yeah, this is my partner in crime, Billy McFarlane. And it's like, oh, wait, yeah, it's a crime.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah, no. So the documentary is both. They are both worth watching for different reasons. I really dislike Billy McFarland. He's
a villain.
He's smirky. He's got that face you just want to slap the smile right off of him. But I don't have a lot of sympathy for the rich people that got bilked. And I am not saying it's right that they got bilked of their money, but I also think that social media is largely also to blame for this, that this is what is allowed.
Oh, indeed.
So ridiculous. It's ridiculous that this is what happens, but people follow it. And that was the thing that people don't use critical thinking anymore. B, people assume that if they see it on the internet, it's real, which is exactly what Billy sold everybody. He sold them something that wasn't real by marketing and sleight of hand, which is what marketing is. So he sold a product. But
he's not a criminal genius. He's a pathological, like, liar. But again,
he's a grifter, to be sure.
He's a grifter, but I think he's also, it's an illness. I mean, I think he really doesn't understand.
Well, I don't think he can help himself.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's matchstick man or whatever.
I think he's incapable of, because even as he was going to jail, he was still starting another scam.
He was being tried for, like, fraud, this whole fire thing, and got caught doing other shit while he was on, like, he was out on bail. Like, the sheer, I don't know, hubris, it's insane.
It certainly gives you an insight into what crazy acts like, but all those people that were involved that let it happen, that knew that something was wrong, that did, because the documentaries, the people are very self-aggrandizing and very apologetic of their own behavior. Like, well, we just felt, you were riding the train because you expected a payoff. And at the point that you realized that there were no rail, the bridge was out, you should have gotten off the train, but you didn't.
But, like, neither you or I have ever worked for a company small enough to be involved in fraud like this, right?
We've
always worked for big companies or government, right? So,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about, I forget what it's even called. His first big thing in New York was like a metal, it was like a credit card sleeve, or was it something you transferred? Because it wasn't a credit card. You had to put your credit card data on it.
Right.
It was totally a status symbol. that you could fling out at parties, and it was also a membership thing where you got some benefit of membership, including the use of this like townhouse or something that they had to share. And it was all about selling elite. It was like selling eliteness. You can buy your way into eliteness. He would offer a special like tickets to special events at a discount and stuff. And when they dug deeper, they realized, oh yeah, this whole business model was built on lies. I mean, the membership fee wasn't covering what it cost for anything. And like people would say, oh, I want to get tickets to Hamilton, for instance, or whatever. And he would have to go buy tickets on StubHub using venture capitalist money that had been invested in this idea that he had that was going to revolutionize the hoi polloi. So he was going and buying tickets and selling them at discounts and delivering them by hand. And over-promising entirely. I mean, this is this guy's M.O. is he over-promises.
Magnesis, by the way.
Yes, Magnesis. Yes, what a great name. You can go right from Magnesis to joining the Nexium cult, which has nothing to do with acid reflux, but it has a little to do with branding. Weird deal.
Well, but not
personal branding, which is another thing about this thing. All these social media kids are all about their personal brand. So he was all about his personal brand, too. Everybody's selling themselves. We're all whores.
Well, not all of us.
So then he goes from Magnesis, which looks great, but is failing. And the people that work there know it's failing. But he just manages to come up with money every month from investors, and nobody... No, I don't think it's anybody's interest to ask any questions about where that money is coming from, right?
Well, here's the thing. Why didn't the investors start asking, hey, where's our return? What's going on?
Well, he was cooking the books. He was saying, like, okay, so then we move from Magnesis to the concept of Fyre, which is not the festival. Fyre was an app where you can basically, that's where you could book celebrities to come to your bar mitzvah. Or your special event or your club opening or something. So instead of having to search out where Paris Hilton or Lindsay Lohan or who I'm trying to think of other Kendall it's Jenner
like,
or something.
It's like Uber for Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, not Hollywood. More like
celebrities.
Because you weren't necessarily, and I guess you could, the theory is you can go and have the Rolling Stones play your 50th anniversary. But it was more like, okay, but you can get Joyce DeWitt to come to your restaurant opening or something. I mean, I'm using an absurd example, but I love Joyce DeWitt, so don't even say anything.
Like a Q-lister. not okay. A-lister, B-list, but like.
But he was Q-list. Promising A-listers. So it's like, sure. Ja Rule was involved in that. So that, hey, we'll make an app and we'll take part of it. It'll be great. And how do we promote our app? We got to make a splash on the market. We'll have this festival. And so we'll use all these artists that we've booked for the app. Anyway, by the way, he was saying, oh yeah, we've already done this millions of business through this app. None of which was true.
it must have taken some superhuman effort to keep all this going and maintain it. It's amazing. Oh, yeah. It's amazing that it lasted as long as it did. The biggest tragedy being the villagers of the Bahama Islands that were affected, like the construction workers and the food workers and all the townsmen.
Yeah, all these Bahamians who were going to make like a year's worth of salary.
That gave up their other things to do.
Yes.
Their other livelihoods to make this thing happen, and then didn't even get paid.
No. I mean, the lady who ran the restaurant there that ended up like feeding everybody, she was promised to do the catering for the festival, but ended up just basically feeding the workers. She had to take like $50,000 out of her like retirement account or whatever, her nest egg for the future. Yeah. Again, I'm assuming everything she is saying is true.
The postscript to her story is that the GoFundMe page got started after the documentaries were put up, and she's gotten her money back through the GoFundMe. So she's been made whole. I also didn't realize that she's partners with Elvis, the gentleman who's talked about when Billy was trying to get him to go steal the alcohol out of the customs.
Yes, yes.
So he's the husband to the restaurant lady. This is a small community.
It is. And everybody, you know, it's like everybody's got island connections. So it's a little loosey-goosey. It's also not in the United States. So the United States laws don't apply.
Right.
But they said they had leased like a lifetime leasehold on this island. But what they really doing is like renting it for a small time. Yeah. And then they were told you can't use Pablo Escobar's name. This is not what you should do. And immediately in their big old splashy ad, they said Pablo Escobar. So they got kicked out of their own island even before this stuff started. And not only did they not have the music acts, but they hadn't thought about sanitation.
It was almost Jones Townsian without the Kool-Aid.
Oh, my God. You know,
he's also lucky nobody got killed.
Oh, yeah. He's lucky he didn't get killed and his head put on a stick.
Well,
if these weren't all spoiled rich kids.
Plenty of time left, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the rich kids are the ones who have means, so.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be the ones to like.
No, but they know people.
I guess, maybe. Nobody's going to get your hands dirty over Billy McFarlane.
If he went missing, I don't think anybody would look too hard for him.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I think he owes the government like a good 20, 30 years of time.
He only got 6 years.
Really? Is it all over?
No.
Okay, I was gonna say it's like he's
no, but he got 6 years, and you know that'll end up being like 3.
And he could, and again, he can somehow. I don't know whether the laws are that you can't sell your story, but he can parlay this into people love.
Well, here's the thing, because
second acts, right?
He got convicted for certain things, but I don't know that that bars him from making money off of a story. Because the crime, it wasn't, he didn't murder anybody.
Yeah.
So if he pays his time and the restitution, and if he sells his story to pay off the restitution money he's owed, because he agreed to pay back some crazy amount. But my question, and boyfriend Jesse and I were talking about this, because he was really interested in what was going on. And
he is truly a millennial, so he probably has a more concept of how these people think, right?
Oh, he was visibly angry several times at the stupidity of the people, everybody.
Yeah, the consumers of the fire
Who bought tickets. All of the above. He thought stupid was all around. But he and I are having a discussion that Billy's girlfriend, I wonder how much money she actually has stashed away.
Yeah, that seemed really weird.
I don't think it's weird. I think she probably has assets. I suspect she got many assets.
Do you think she mean like she laundered his money, or do you think she already had money?
No, I think she probably laundered his money. Like,
yeah, maybe.
He probably has money stashed away with her. Because he got convicted and went to prison, and she's still professing that he's a great guy and he's never lied to me. And you know, all of this that I was like, lady, seriously, he's a psychopath.
Oh, completely. I mean, that's the thing is that this guy spun this massive web of bullshit, and he tap danced as long as he could. And the hilarious thing is there was a point where he could have canceled this. And so the fire fraud thing was kind of at a different angle, like I said, because during this whole setup, there was, again, some rich asshole music, see like a festival producer, or he's in the music business somehow, who was, and I only call him a rich asshole because all these people are rich assholes in the movie. At least that's how they're portrayed. But he was like, yeah, this doesn't add up. So he started calling around and like calling Blink-182's management saying, hey, are these guys really doing this? I'm like, well, yeah, I think so. We're in the, have you guys got paid yet? Well, funny you mentioned that. We haven't got paid anything yet. Yeah. You might want to look into that because we don't think this is going to happen. So, you know, anybody who pre-bought tickets, that was where this thing was. That it's one of those things where people pre-bought tickets, people prepaid for all this stuff. I love the fact at the very end when they're just trying to get money from anywhere, they're saying, oh, you know, it's going to be a utopian cashless society, so we're giving you these electronic bands, and you have to load them up with money. So put thousands of dollars on these bands, please, because we want to bleed you dry as much as possible before you realize you're being scammed.
It's going to be a cashless thing.
And so, and you know, some of these people were doing it for the lulz, I guess. They were saying, hey, I spent this money, but now I'm going to also like live Instagram it. You know, I'm going to.
Well, there was people that kept take selfies at the airport and selfies at the plane and this and that. Like, oh, here, I'm going to this great elite little party. I'm like, oh, fuck you.
Well, but
like,
even someone were saying, oh, we don't think maybe this is all bullshit, but we're going to have fun trying, you know. And they were saying, look, see, they put us on this chartered plane that was like, you know, Braniff, or whatever, from the 70s.
Joke's on you. There's not even toilets.
You know, do you know whether or not any music was performed at this event?
I don't think so.
Cause I know, I mean, they built a stage of sorts, but it looked like a stage, you know, I mean, it's like a stage you would build like at a section of the state fair where you're going to have a performance by the surviving members of Foghat. It did not look like it was going to be like some sort of like Skrillex stage, Major Lazer with 30,000 people standing in front of the stage. Plus, there's no room for 30,000 people and all the FEMA tents.
Yeah, that was. No words. I just don't have words. I don't have words adequate to describe.
It was such a shit show that I think you're right. Had they had 3 days of concert available to them, people would have gotten cholera.
Yeah.
But they didn't even have that. They had to go back to the airport and get locked in. Can you imagine being padlocked into a building in a third world country? Oh, no. My spidey sense would be like, I'm going to die in a fire in this building.
Also, the fact that the pilot of Billy's little private plane venture learned on Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Exactly. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Billy wasn't the only one that had delusions of grandeur or delusions of adequacy in some cases. Also, like I said, as charming as I found him.
Did you think he was charming?
No, not Billy. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I just kept wanting to smash him in the face with the paperweight.
No. He's the guy selling water filters. Like he would sell you vitamins and water filters in the same spiel and try to get you to attend the conference to look at timeshares. Except that his timeshares wouldn't have existed. He would be selling you exclusive timeshares. Exclusive timeshares. Oh. That's wild. Is your whole power dealing with things?
I don't know what the hell that was.
Your light is going crazy.
Yeah, it may be burning out. I don't know.
Oh, it went out. Nope, went back on. Oh no, is it activity? is it talking to you? Is it Morse code? Slow it. You need to videotape this because it'll slow down.
Is gravity changing in my room? Is gravity
changing? You're telling yourself from the future. That you need
the next Firefest is gonna work.
Don't go to the Major Lazer concert. And they wired Kendall Jenner $250,000. Okay, she doesn't take a check. She had to have be wired that money to put out one tweet or Instagram post or whatever. $250,000 per post. I mean, that's how the Kardashians are millionaires.
Uh huh.
Yeah, Kendall Jenner is, she's a billionaire, maybe? One of those kids is a legit billionaire.
Yeah.
Legit? Built on nothing. Built on a personal brand. It's crazy. But that's what everybody's aspiring to. You want to be the next major social media influencer. They paid these social media influencers like thousands of dollars to do this promotion, even though they were also nobodies. I mean, again, if you have, well, okay, here's another thing. I know they were, who is it that I was hearing a podcast from who he was putting together a show and they said, and he was selling the show and it was, things are going great. He was going to be the lead. And he, you know, they wanted a kind of a diverse cast. He's like, yeah, that's cool. It's all about that. He said, yeah, but the female lead has to have over 20 million Twitter followers or we won't even consider her. But what if they can't act? Well, that's secondary to the number of social media followers they have, because that's how they're going to promote the shit out of this. It's like, that, and you know, there are people, they're like, Instagram, celebrities who are doing like booking shows in comedy rooms, and the comedians are like, well, okay, hold on. People don't understand that maybe you can do that for 20 minutes, but you can't have a whole night worth of show where the headliner is an Instagram person, because the Instagram person doesn't know how to work a crowd.
No.
Doesn't have material. That's not their job. Their job is to maybe make some witty repartee like twice a day. Anyway. Yeah. Your light is going crazy. Is it the whole house or just the one light? Everything else seems fine. But that light is going berserk.
No, it's just the one light. It's the, I have this torch in the corner. It's probably just finally burned out.
Yeah. What if we both have seizures in thousands of miles away from the same light? Is it halogen? Okay, I was going to say, because the next thing is...
It's some kind of compact fluorescent, although now that I smell it, it smells like some kind of burning weird. So I'm sure I'm going to get cancer from it, but...
I just hope your house doesn't burn down. Did you hear about our series of arsons lately? Speaking of fire...
When you say our, you mean Anchorage?
I mean Anchorage.
Okay, because when you say our, that I could... like. Other people may not understand.
Okay, sorry. So in Anchorage, Alaska, if you don't have enough to deal with post-earthquake crap, we're still getting like 4.0 aftershocks, 4.1, 4.2, that kind of stuff. But they burned down. Now, I'm not saying these are all the same people, because they are probably not. I don't know. I have any special information. I just get a gut feeling that they don't seem to match. In January... a closed down restaurant, the Sea Galley, we got crab legs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Burned down. Spectacular. And because it was already kind of set for demolition and boarded up, they just let it burn, right? And, you know, again, it seemed like, well, very suspicious. You know, I hope they were insured, wink, wink.
And then with the and hotel, then there
was
right?
a hotel under construction that right. was torched. Also very dramatic. And that one has a $20 million price tag of damage that was done. And luckily, you know, ATF has an arson squad. And this is when we had a big fire where actually a couple people died a couple years ago, ATF came up and did the fire investigation, because they can bring a team of like 30 people up and collect all this like 360 data, and then they'll rebuild the entire structure at their secret laboratory in Texas or whatever, and then do all these tests. And so they can, you know, it's an excuse for them to come up and actually put their skills to use. So ATF was up there working on the hotel fire thing. But then five days ago, maybe, a place right next to where I work called Yakitori Sushi burned down. And there's actually, you can see online, they have actually a video of the two guys who burned it down going out the back door. One of the guys' glove is on fire. He has to like take his glove off. So he's probably actually burned. But then this morning on my way to work, I want to stop at the convenience store to get a soda on my way to work at like a block away from the Yakitori place. And the place called Noodle World, which, if you picture this building, there it's a building that's divided into three parts. The middle part is a liquor store. Then the right-hand side, as you're looking, is Yakitori Sushi. The left-hand side, as you're looking, is Noodle World. Noodle World was on fire.
Ouch.
Somebody broke into Noodle World and set it on fire, too. So something is going on. So we've had a fire festival of our own in Anchorage. I certainly hope this does not continue because it is, it's alarming. Everybody's got videos of everything, so I think that the culprits are going to be caught. It's a fire department thing for the most part because nobody's been killed at this point. But we'll see who owns the investigation later. Anyway, so that's what's going on in my town. So yeah, so Fire Festival.
Yeah, so from everything I see, it looks like they canceled it before anything ever even got started.
Okay.
Because, of course, people were showing up on Friday, and then the concerts were supposed to be on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, so they canceled it on Friday? When they had a couple thousand people already there, though, right?
Yeah. Well, I think they said they had, like, 500 people showed up, but they were expecting...
500 people, okay. That makes more sense. Because what happened is the 500 people get there, and the shell game starts where they're kind of taken to a bar right away and given free booze. Because they got $2 million of the booze. They can free, you know.
They can just give it away.
Yeah. And then the longer they stay at the bar, people were like, oh, something is going on. And then they get into these school buses and are driven on these backcountry roads past the Sandals Resort that they could have stayed at for lots of money. And end up going like on a bumpy road past all these Connex trailers and seeing the, the wrappings from the mattresses that were thrown into the literally white dome tents that said FEMA in them. Like basically what, like maybe 4-person tents, two little twin beds would fit in there. So maybe 4-person, but.
Oh well, God. Here's another question. At the point things started going a little wonky and they started deleting items off of Twitter. Wouldn't that be, if you were told by your company, like anything that's negative on our Twitter, just start deleting and then add all these filters so that if people mention any of these things that their posts just don't ever make it because they get locked out because they're unapproved words like fraud and failure and...
You know, if it wasn't for that fire fraud domain, right? Or account or whatever. It was like an Instagram account or a Twitter account.
He created an account.
Yeah. If not for that guy's account, I think maybe they would have been more successful at putting up the smoke screen. Yeah.
Yeah. Then it would have really been Jonestown. He would have just murdered them instead of them murdering themselves.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking, what if that building had, what if the airport had caught on fire?
Well, what if anything had caught on fire? I mean, yeah. What if somebody had fallen over one of those cliffs?
Oh, yeah.
It amazes me that nobody got killed. There was no riot. Yeah. There was no stabbings.
Because you know that had something bad happened, it would have been Elvis and his 6 cousins who were going to be like the rescue team. Like, it wasn't going to be any more sophisticated than that, I don't think. Maybe they do. Maybe they have a very robust paramedic corps.
Maybe.
In the community, but didn't see any of it.
But this further stirs my paranoia, probably not necessarily unjustified, but probably in an unjustified way in some ways. But if I'm ever going to go to something, I almost never go to the first of something. It's like new things. Exactly. Like I'm pretty skeptical anymore because I never know what the crowds are going to be like. And I'm such an old man now. I'm just like, you know, I don't have patience for this crap. I used to go to concerts a lot more. And now I'm like, you know what? Now when I go to concerts, I remember why I don't go to concerts anymore. Because I can't hear it. I can't see it. They're not going to play anything I like. And I'm around a bunch of shitheads that don't know how to act in public. So,
you know, this is where having a younger boyfriend is helpful because he gets to drag you to stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, he tries. I'm not saying we've done some things. I took him to Depeche Mode and we went and saw Howard Jones and we're going to go see Storm Large in June. So we still do things, but I always have
that. Yeah, but you're not going to see Major Lazer or Cardi B or Iggy Azalea.
Not going to happen because, first of all, I'm too old. And second of all, I would murder somebody. So
you're only as old as you feel.
Oh, I feel ancient. So, because I would love to go to Glastonbury. I would love to. I would love to. Because I watch all the video footage and I'm like, why can't we have that in this country? And then I realize, because all the shitheads that live here, that's why.
No, but you can. I mean, Coachella is kind of like that, right? Or Bonnaroo, or
I think
like the Sasquatch Festival, and there's all sorts of different
festivals. Again, I think they started like that, but no longer. Coachella is now for rich people.
Yeah, well, of course. Everything's for rich people. It's but America.
Glastonbury isn't. I mean, that's what I mean. Burning Man, which, by the way, I have no desire to go to Burning Man, but Burning Man was a big artistic foo-foo thing in the desert. Now it's commercial. You know,
because people can make a buck.
So it is what it is. I'm just saying, I'm never going to be the guy who's going to be the first to go to something like this. And this just justifies my paranoia. So I do feel bad for the people that were trapped, and I'm sure it was scary.
Okay. How about, do you think there is any possibility? I mean, any possibility that he really did have a lockbox full of keys to houses that he could have let people stay in?
Nope.
That he lost?
Nope.
Yeah, there is no chance this thing ever existed. None.
No. I believe that he probably believes he did. I think he's deluded enough to have thought.
That's the thing. It's like, this is a guy that would just, like, in the face of somebody saying no, would just take off and go jet ski until... Yeah, I mean, again, this is a guy who probably doesn't get a lot of sleep every night. I can imagine him doing a ton of cocaine, but that wasn't mentioned at all, so maybe not.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, and the fact that he was on, like, he had bailed himself out going through this trial for fraud, for millions of dollars of fraud for the Fyre Festival. And he had set up this scam company to be selling like exclusive tickets to crap. Like it's like he couldn't quit. It was like, he's a degenerate con man through and through.
Oh no, he's yeah, he is a psychopath. He's delusional. He cannot stop himself.
And yet, I mean, on one hand, again, I know people who are mentally ill. It doesn't excuse bad behavior.
Oh, I'm not excusing.
He's also a criminal. No, I'm not saying you were. Yeah.
He should go to jail. He should never be allowed to be in control of anything involving money ever again, unless. Yeah, unless he's taking money at a cash register that's supervised by a video camera.
I wouldn't trust him to run a cash register. Nah. Not in a million years.
Probably not.
Or any kind of inventory of anything.
Yeah, he clearly can't.
This is a guy who would be selling stuff out of the back door of your business.
He's the seafood guy out of the pickup truck in the parking lot.
Yeah. Well, he's the guy that hires four other people to be the guys in the pickup, and he just drives between them while trying to find the as much seafood as he can, and he's not really picky about where he gets it. Like, okay, so, you know, what do they call it? Organized retail crime is kind of a mm-hmm. buzzword, but this has always been the fact that, you know, we have people that shoplift because they have a sickness and they shoplift, which, you know, whatever, probably a minority. Then we have a bunch of people who shoplift because they are young or thieves or both. And then there are people that shoplift as a profession.
Yep.
Where they have like shoplifting clothes, like booster outfits and stuff, where they can, you know, lots of pockets inside. And, you know, I mean, these are the organized retail thieves. For a while, and maybe it probably still happens, I don't know. Right now we're dealing with arsons and stuff and stolen cars still, so I'm not really, you know, theft of meat is not big on my radar, really. Actually, a lot of those reports I made online, too, is that they'll just make the reports online because once the people go, we'll track them down if they can, but, you know, but really it's small potatoes, or in this case, expensive meats. So they'll get like $3, $4 meats or shrimp or whatever. And at first it was like, okay, who is buying like discount meat? I mean, are you like driving a truck from place to place? And then it's like, no, it's restaurants. We're not talking McDonald's or Sea Galley, but, you know, maybe mom and pop restaurants. Oh yeah, they'll buy a couple pounds of trouser shrimp. So you gotta
trouser shrimp.
Yeah, you got to be careful about, you know, if you go to the like the hole in the wall business that has the most authentic gumbo. Maybe you're eating trouser shrimp, so be careful. Because you don't again, and that's I mean again that's the to me the starkest example because beef is probably fairly stable for periods of time. What do they call it? They call it excursions.
Yes.
Okay.
Temperature excursions.
Yes, temperature excursions, yeah. Mm-hmm. Chicken and other poultry, probably less so. Seafood, yeah. Probably really less so.
Yeah.
Because you don't want the green trouser shrimp.
No.
But, you know, that's what's going into the gumbo, maybe, if they can get, you know, they can buy shrimp for pennies on the dollar.
Ugh.
You know, that way it cuts into your, you know, you can save money on your inventory, your expenses. Make more profit for you.
So wrong.
Again, I don't know. I'm certainly not for it. It's horrible.
You know, and the funny thing is, when I worked in retail, that was like meat was never the stuff that was stolen. Food, people didn't steal food. People stole all kinds of other stuff. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sure there are people that still steal like electronics and stuff. DVDs are big because you can pawn them. You can't pawn meat yet, I don't think, because nobody's going to give you a ticket to pick up. I've got a prime rib. Can you give me $100? I'll come here on Friday. I'll bond it back for $150. Like,
hey, you don't have any sizzlers to sell the meat to, so
exactly, yeah. So
sizzler.
There are sizzlers in the world still, right?
There are. There was one just a couple blocks from my house, but it recently closed. There's one in Eugene still, I believe. So there's a couple still around. Just like Shakey's is still around. There's a couple still around.
Would you eat it at a Shakey's now?
I have eaten it at a Shakey's recently.
Oh, I was going to say, was it scary?
No, it was actually really good.
Were there Mojo potatoes?
There were.
Oh, that would be the best.
It was.
Shakey's was the best pizza when I was a kid. I'd love to go because the pizza was good.
Well, they had video games. They're the first place that we, you know, was introduced. Crystal Castle, man. No, I mean, mom, you get a pitcher of beer and mom and dad would sit and have pizza and turn us loose on the games and there would be food. And
hey, that's what Chuck E. Cheese was about. Chuck E. Cheese was a great thing as a kid because you had the whole upstairs was a video arcade.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, mom and dad can buy a pitcher of beer or a carafe of wine if you were fancy.
Yeah. Years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, Travis and I, Dr. Wonders and I went up to spend a weekend in Gig Harbor and do some, I don't know, sightseeing. I took him to the Space Needle. That's why we went up there. But we drove to Renton, by the way, which is like an hour and a half out of our way, specifically just so I could go to Shakey's Pizza.
That's awesome.
So I would do it again, by the way.
Maybe someday we can do that together with your niece and your sister-in-law.
Nah, come on down. We'll drive down to the Sizzler the next day, too.
Steak and Malibu chicken?
Oh. Malibu chicken, double Malibu chicken.
Okay, no steak, just double Malibu?
Double Malibu chicken with salad bar.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, 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 no. And again, the Sizzler, even as up until, because we would go there, not, I wouldn't say regular, but because they have this unlimited all-you-can-eat salad bar crap, Derek is like just this trough of food. He can just eat and eat and eat. Yeah. So he likes stuff like that because he can get his money's worth out of a buffet.
I was going to say, Derek is a machine.
Yeah, exactly. So
Derek is an iron giant type machine.
Yes. So my hat's off to him because I don't know how he doesn't stay skinny. Well, I mean, he works in construction, so he's very physical. But because he would want to, he loved Sizzler because he could just fill up. Because I can't cook enough food to fill him up, or I wouldn't have any income at all. I would just be poor all the time. But and I have no illusion that Sizzler was, you know, high cuisine. It's not. It's mediocre food at best, but it's consistent and you know what you're getting. But it's, you go for the nostalgia and, you know, the double Malibu chicken and the little mustard sauce that comes with it. And, you know, your salad bar with the soft serve ice cream, which is probably, you know, rancid and, you know, rat droppings and all that, but whatever it is what it is. So, but it closed. It's going to turn into a Black Bear Diner, if you know what that is.
I do not know what that is.
It's kind of a, it's a very kitschy bear themed, like Denny's-ish kind of that place.
Oh, okay.
But they have a very certain kind of decorative motif and image and menu, and it's very standardized because it's a chain.
Yeah.
But they have like giant portions, and so it is taking over the space that the Sizzler was in. So
sweet.
But since my group of peers here are all like middle-aged fat berry dudes, you know, they like the Black Bear Diner because they can go and stuff their gullets full of cheap food. So
yeah,
it's not a buffet restaurant. But then we have a pizza buffet place across the street, so we're not lacking food. It's just not great food. But, you know,
we actually bought a and this probably will, we're probably done with the podcast, but our two little things. We bought a Cuisinart. Is it Cuisinart? Yeah. A Cuisinart toaster oven, combination toaster oven, air fryer.
Oh, nice.
And it's really cool because, it's got a glass front so you can actually see what's happening. But B, the fryer basket is so much bigger than our air fryer.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll still have to play around to see exactly what times work for everything, but it you can cook a lot more at one time, which is pretty cool.
I have a pretty big one. I can fry an entire bag of French fries in mine.
Oh yeah. Well, and the other thing is this, because it's set up like a toaster oven, you don't get that satisfaction of when you're cooking the fries, you pull it out and shake it. You can't really shake it as much as you just have to manipulate it around and then put it back. But still.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other story I have to tell you.
By the way, pizza rolls in the air fryer are amazing.
Oh, all the rolls. Egg rolls are great.
Yeah, but you just have to be careful because they are like blister grenades.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, so it was Super Bowl. Or actually, it wasn't even Super Bowl. We made it, but... Well, okay, and I have more stories to tell you. We got some like Costco bag of like chicken wings.
Uh huh.
Kelly got hot wings, and I got like honey barbecue wings. And so she made some in the toaster oven, but as an oven thing, she didn't do the air fryer part of it. So even though I didn't want to be the first person to use the air fryer, and Kelly's like, "Look, we're not going to treat this like my car. Just use the damn air fryer and clean it when you're done. Don't even worry about messing up." Like, well, I don't want to mess it up. She's like, "Don't, you're insane." So I did it. I used the air fryer. It was fine. But I found out that, you know, I'm not a big chicken wing fan so much. They don't have enough meat really to be like, there's a lot of work to get that meat. And for some reason, maybe it was the air fryer, but for some reason they retained heat like crazy.
So the air fryer is pretty good at that penetrative heat.
Yeah. So I was trying to rip, you know, like the big chunks of skin off the, because I don't want to eat flappy chicken skin. Even if it's crispy chicken skin, I don't want to eat like a ton of it. So I'm like ripping the skin off, but it's hot underneath. So I'm like burning my fingers and getting a tiny bit of meat and very frustrated.
Well, so we have this thing. I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but if not, anybody who knows me has already heard this story. But I have this amnesia every time we go to get chicken wings. And I'm like, oh, chicken wings sound good. And then I eat one. I'm like, I don't like these. I've never liked these. I don't understand why I always think I like them. And then I eat one and I'm like, ooh, I don't like these. They're usually greasy and chewy and
exactly, and I don't like them. With stuff that will make your life horrible later.
And there's as much bone as meat in some cases, and I don't like eating meat off the bone anyway. So I'm prissy like that. I just don't like it. But every time, like, Derek will get chicken wings in and he's like, you want one? I'm like, yeah. And then I eat it. I'm like, no, why? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I should remember this every damn time. So yeah, but we love our air fryer. I sent you pictures of the Oreo, right? The deep fried.
Yeah. I'll have to use the.
No, don't. It's the devil, man. Yeah. Don't do it.
Well, we're gonna make like turnovers or something in a similar thing with like pie filling, or whatever. But no, so Kelly saw this other thing she made for Kelly being a stay at home mom at the moment, although now she's shifted into study mode. We'll talk about that in a moment. I don't know if you see those videos, like they kind of show you something being prepared, kind of like in Fast Time or whatever, mm-hmm. and it's like a little recipe, but it's nice because you see the overhead view of it. I watch most of my videos on mute anyway on my phone,
yeah,
so I never hear any whatever,
right?
But basically, you take like a square of Hawaiian sweet rolls, right?
Uh huh.
And you cut it in half, so you got like two big gigantic pieces of bread, and then you layer like ham and Swiss cheese, and you put Dijon mustard in it, and then you put the top back on, and you brush it with like melted butter and put poppy seeds over it, and then put it in the oven. And so you're basically making sliders.
Okay.
But you make it in one big sheet and then you cut them up later after when it's all done, right?
All right.
Here's the beauty of that. First of all, Hawaiian bread with ham and cheese in it and some little bit of Dijon mustard is already great. It's a ham sandwich. If you like ham sandwiches, you'll love this. But then you put butter over the top of it and put it in the oven for a little bit. On the first day when you eat them... It's great because they're gooey and rich, and I mean you can't eat a ton of them because they're really rich, and there's they're buttery, especially on the bottom because the butter drips off, and especially if you use maybe more butter than the recipe suggested because you don't quite know how much it's going to take, maybe you over buttered them a little bit, so the bottom of it soaks up all this butter, which makes day two another joy. Because day two, you have this cold sandwich, and the top of it has a little bit of, like, maybe a little char, but you still have, like, a top bun consistency of bread, and then you have the melted cheese and ham, which is now cold, so it's, like, a glued piece of, like bark, almost. Beautiful, beautiful, tasty, tasty, meaty, cheesy bark. And then the bottom is a butter sponge that is solidified because it's been in the fridge now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's what's going to cause my fatal heart attack. But it was so good. It was amazing.
I made these hors d'oeuvres, and I think Dr. Wonders dubbed it my white trash roll-ups, which is you just take Wonder Bread,
mm-hmm.
white bread, Wonder Bread, whatever cheap white bread you have. You cut the crust off of it, which is that should clue you in where you're going with this journey. And then you spread cream cheese on the bread.
Okay.
And then you roll that up into a tight little log.
Okay.
And then you wrap strips of bacon around it and bake it in a pan. Wow. And as the bacon bakes...
It soaks into the bread.
It soaks into the bread, but the bread gets crispy. So it's bacony crispy bread with crisp bacon and cream cheese in the insides. And I made it, and we took it over to a party somewhere. And then
you
somewhere.
Cut the log into, like, spirals, or do you just leave
it? Well, no, they're just little. You just
Oh, okay. Because
they're, like, you cut the pieces of bread in half. And then you just roll up that half. So they're little individual servings.
And you're taking like one piece of bacon to wrap around it or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But holy God, I made 3 pounds worth of bacon is what I made. And I baked them off and took them, and I took them over to, I think it was, I can't remember where we were. Anyway, I had a whole platter of them and they went in like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like they were just gone. And I was like, wow. And Travis was like, they're crack, man.
You ever had my lawn darts? there's two hors d'oeuvres I can make. I stole the ideas from people at work. One is actually very cute. It's a little mouse where you take a maraschino cherry with the stem and you dip that in chocolate, melting chocolate, and then you smash a candy kiss on the side of it so that when you put it down on a piece of wax paper, you've got the candy kiss like facing like, it looks like a mouse.
Gotcha.
Because it's got the little tail.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, if you take some like slivered almond things, you can make little ears with it. You can actually decorate it up with little like piping of frosting or whatever. You're rolling it really detailed.
Look at you being all kid chopped.
No, but hold on. If you just want it to be cute and look like a mouse, all you have to do is just do that one thing. Dip the cherry, put it on the candy kiss, put it on the plate. It's great. Another cheating thing I did was I just took like store-bought frozen pie crust.
Mm-hmm.
And
nothing wrong with that.
Cut it into, probably squares because it probably came out square. Or just, you know, whatever, like cookie-sized pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it in the oven, throw some powdered sugar on it. That's a damn good cookie right there. And if you actually put a candy kiss in the middle of that, it's an even better cookie. Or some kind of candy.
We just need to take pie crust and put just cinnamon sugar on it and bake it.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can, like I said, you can take like a little miniature Hershey kiss or miniature Reese's cup.
I make granola pie, which is like pecan pie, except instead of all the weird nuts, you use, well, pecans clearly, but you use granola, and then I add like coconut and then like butterscotch and white chocolate chips. And
so it's like, what is it called? Like a magic bar? Equals
kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
Evaporated milk? Is there evaporated milk in there?
Nope.
Okay, that's what the magic bars have.
No, it's like it is basically just pecan pie with, instead of nuts, you use granola, and then I like I said, I add like white chocolate chips, butterscotch chips, and chocolate chips.
Yeah. Well, okay, I know you're renowned for your cooking, but here's a quick thing you can make, and because of the title, they're beautiful. It's called lawn darts.
I already like it.
Yeah, you take black olives, right? Pitted black olives.
Okay.
Okay.
Whole.
Yeah, whole okay. Pitted black olives, okay?
Gotcha.
A couple cans of those, right?
Okay.
Rinse them off. Or you don't have to rinse them off, just dry them off, right? From a can. Take pepperoni. Regular pizza-sized pepperoni, not like jumbo pepperoni.
Uh-huh.
And I like the regular pepperoni better than like, because like turkey pepperoni is usually a little bit thicker.
I don't like turkey pepperoni.
Like I love turkey pepperoni, but no. But for this application, you need something that you take, and you need cream cheese. And I added some like chipotle sauce to the cream cheese only to make it, a little bit more wet so I could pipe it instead of scooping it, because piping it works better. So you take your cream cheese, right? Room mm-hmm. temperature, whatever.
Yeah.
You thin it out with whatever you want to thin out with. You could probably put like super fancy stuff in there. You could probably put pesto or whatever. Whatever you want to do. Make it a little bit thinner. Stick it in a Ziploc bag or a pastry bag or whatever you want. You take a pepperoni. You roll it into a cone, right? So it's wide on one end like a funnel.
Yep.
Yep, you shove the pointy end into the olive.
Mm-hmm.
You pipe the little cream cheese in there, and you're done. You've got a lawn dart. Easy to make. You can actually assemble a ton of them at once, and people love them. Because who doesn't like just like one olive, piece of pepperoni, some cream cheese? Boom. And you could put like pepper jelly in there. You could do it like you said. You can zhuzh it up if you want. But I actually made some for Journey that didn't have cream cheese because she doesn't like cream cheese. Yeah, it's fine. She loved it. You can take it apart, play with the olives on your fingers.
You could use cheese spread for that matter.
You can, yeah, you can. Well, you can fill it with whatever. You can use like canned whipped cream. I don't care. But yeah, you want something basically to cut a little bit of the spicy / like meaty part of the pepperoni. but the olive, it's actually of all the things I've mentioned it's actually pretty healthy for you. It's got all that MUFA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Massive upper FAP area, whatever.
Upper what?
No, that's FUPA. Never mind. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I think you better be careful about using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. In fact, that I know it doesn't mean what you think it means.
Monounsaturated fatty acid, is that what MUFA is?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, you know, black olives, pepperoni, and cream cheese, it may not be 100% keto, but it's pretty Atkins.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
And you can only eat like 40 of them at once.
Only.
Yeah. But no, I mean, like, I probably made like 3 dozen of them and just kind of, you know, ate some to the Super Bowl, ate some the next day. You know, by day 3, you're like, if it's just me, it's like, oh, okay, I can take the pepperoni out, put it on a hamburger or whatever, but, and just eat the olives. Like,
you put pepperoni on a hamburger?
The other day I made, onion jam. I love onion jam. What did I put a hamburger on the other day that was really, really good? So we grew up with a dill weed on the hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, is really good. How do we come up with that idea? Was that a thing somewhere? I was trying to find the origin story of that.
Julia Child.
That. You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because Julia Child, you just put fresh dill on it. And I was like, you know, we can't get fresh dill in Alaska.
Okay.
Well, growing up.
That makes sense. So, yeah. So, I've done celery seed. Works great on a hamburger.
I like celery seed. I like celery salt, actually, too.
Yeah, what did I have the other day that Kelly was appalled at? Make a flavor combination that she was appalled at. It was something sweet and something savory on a hamburger.
Yeah, see, I can't do the sweet.
Do you like onion jam?
I haven't had it, but...
Like caramelized onions? Do you like caramelized onions?
Not
see, 'cause
so
all onion jam is caramelized onions that are just basically all it is onions and butter.
Yeah.
And you just cook them low and slow forever, or in the Instant Pot they work pretty well, although you still, because the moisture doesn't escape, you still have to kind of saute them afterward to kind of work it down.
What I really enjoy is I like pickled onions. Pickled red onions. And they're super easy.
With red wine vinegar?
Sure.
I tried to pickle onions with like regular dill vinegar, like dill pickling kind of stuff.
I actually have a quick pickle recipe for red onions somewhere. So,
send it to me. I love pickled onions.
You just quick pickle it. I think it's Alton Brown's recipe, but I'll find it. But you just quick pickle in a little jar. A little jar and you crock and you...
Takes a couple of hours, maybe, overnight, for sure.
Overnight in the fridge, and God, they were so good.
No, I would eat an entire pickled onion on one hamburger.
I would just eat the stuff. Pickled onions. I don't even like...
Some black peppercorns in there.
Yeah.
Whole peppercorns, red pepper flakes.
A little bit of garlic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Red wine vinegar is what I... it's the best. I love red wine vinegar, too.
I use red wine... They look at me weird. I put red wine vinegar all over my sandwiches.
Yeah.
No, like absolutely. A pepperoni and cheese sandwich with red wine vinegar.
That's the national sandwich of Italy. That's nothing to be ashamed of. Normally, you'd put some olive oil on that, too, but I don't like big gobs of oil on a sandwich.
Oh, see, I love olive oil.
Yeah, no, not so much.
I will just sit and eat bread and olive oil, a little bit of cracked pepper.
I could eat bread all day long every day.
Yeah, me too.
Even bad bread is still decent bread, you know.
No,
it's like even bad pizza is still pizza.
Carbs, man.
I love them. Carbs. By the way, I don't think those big stuffed Oreos exist because I have never seen them in the wild. Travis bought them someplace, right?
Yeah, Safeway.
Safeway, okay, because they did not have them where I've been looking. Guess I should go to Cars and see if they have them in Cars.
Yeah, I don't have any desire, so I haven't actually looked for them. So, but
I'll try them once.
No, I'm coming.
I mean, I've taken 2 Mega Oreos and put them together. Maybe even 3 of them.
Does nobody remember the triple stuffed Oreos that used to exist?
Do not remember triple stuffed. Did it have 3 cookies in it?
No.
Oh, okay.
They were just triple stuffed. I think the package was reddish or pink.
Well, now, I mean, they have double stuffed and they have mega stuffed.
Yeah. So, but, yeah.
Now, but really, I mean, what I want is I want a like a bucket of Crisco with sugar, just a spoon, while watching Two and a Half Men.
It's the most American thing ever.
Great. Can I get a big old hunk of Velveeta? And drink a Pabst Blue Ribbon or some other kind of...
Gross. So gross. Well, I will not have any Oreos, and we're supposed to get like 14 inches of snow between now and Tuesday, so it will be pandemonium. But
well, I mean, how so take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here. Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, so they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's a brother Sanderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. Hey.